This is just a little samba built upon a single note. Other notes are bound to follow, but the root is still that note.
Frank Sinatra singing Jobim?
Yeah, it's one note samba with Jobim as well.
Today is National 8-Track Tape Day. And who are investing?
And I wish I could say we were playing this on an 8-track so you get the full effect, but right. Unfortunately, the machine is really almost non-existent.
Mitty McNeil has been researching the history of the 8-track. It's Throwback Tuesday.
Yeah, there you go.
Way back.
Yeah, and according to Apple World Today, this is a day to remember listening to great music of the 60s, 70s, and actually part of the 80s. And some 8-tracks actually are considered collectibles today, and this is one. The Frank Sinatra, when he recorded this his first 8-track with Antonio Carlos Jobim, it was called Sinatra Jobim. And if you happen to have that 8-track today, there's only about 3 to 5 copies around, and it's worth about $5,000. Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I don't.
So why are there only 3 to 5 copies that we know of exist? What happened?
Well, it's actually considered rare because Warner Record executives ordered the destruction. There was about 3,500 8-track tapes that had been made, and they ordered the destruction of all about 3 or 5. And they even issued a recall and attempted to get the sold copies back because Sinatra Jobim was recorded in February of 69 and was planned for March release, but work was on the way for My Way, the album that began less than a week after Sinatra Jobim was completed.
So basically Sinatra didn't want that one out there because it would compete against himself.
It was competing. Yeah, so the record executives were like, let's get this out of here. And, you know, he was at the point, he was winding down near the end of his career, and they thought,
it was the end of his career. Of course, he had a huge resurgence in the late 70s.
Yeah, and so they were like, he doesn't have much popularity left. Right. Let's shelve this. Let's get rid of this. So they ordered the destruction,
right.
And then for more popular tunes. It's kind of crazy, but yeah.
There are a ton of 8-track memorabilia websites. 8-tracks, we just think of them as a relic.
Yeah.
But there's actually a little following out there. There's a movement.
They have different type of websites out there that you can still go on to and, you know, talk about it, trade about it. There's forums regarding 8-tracks as well. So,
you know, my thing would be, well, where do you find an 8-track player? Okay, obviously you go online, but how, I mean, you know.
I got a player in my garage.
You've got one? You've actually got
an 8-track player? It's part of a console. It's got a record changer.
It's built into the console.
Into. Okay. Yeah, because a lot of them were popular in cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they first started, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but they were originally called the Stereo 8, and they were made by the Learjet Corporation. Mm-hmm. But they were put into basically Ford. Like Ford had the Thunderbird, the Mustang, and the Lincoln, and they were put in there. So driving down the road.
Yeah, well, I had one in my very first automobile. I had a 59 Chevy, which I bought in 1969 in New York in preparation to head to the West Coast. You know, teenager breaking loose for the first time. And I bought an 8-track player in Times Square. I think it was probably about $80 at the time, and it was one of those that you put in between the seats on the hump.
on the hump.
Okay, and not so, the in dash. Okay.
No in dash. You just kind of wire it up yourself, kind of stuff, and you put it on there, and then you go buy the 8-track. So that was 69, and 8-tracks were all the rage, and that's all we had.
And they were popular up until, 82, I think? Yeah, they stopped in the...
I think the reason for the popularity of the 8-track, obviously, it was the first portable recorded medium that we had. When you think about it, I mean, what was there before the 8-track in the car? The radio, correct?
Yeah.
It was the first option to the radio in your car the 8-track player. It had to be. Cassettes came later.
Yeah.
So,
Even with the downside of fading the program so we could change the track... Dunk, dunk. And then the music would come back up. We had a...
And they were continuous.
Yeah, they were continuous.
They never stopped.
That was my saying. You could hear the whole thing. You didn't have to turn anything over.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And then it would start over again. And you could just rock that blood, sweat, and tears.
Well, let me tell you.
Between Ohio and St. Louis.
I had enough money left over to purchase, I believe it was 8 or 9 8-tracks to go along with the 8-track player. That investment alone between the 8-track player and the 8-tracks was more than what the car cost me, which was $90. So we start heading across the country, and I'm trying to remember what they all were, but I do remember three now for sure.
Okay.
Santana.
Okay.
The very first album. The other one was Bob Dylan's Nashville Skyline and Blood, Sweat, and Tears. The one with God Bless the Child. Those were three that I knew of, and we knew them well by the time we got to the to the West Coast.
Played it over and over. Yeah. How much did 8-tracks cost back then?
Oh, 8-tracks were probably, I want to say,
$5?
$3.
$5?
$3 maybe.
And, and there are go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, did you have any country? Because they seem to be the most popular kind of 8-track.
Well, country as I can get was Bob Dylan, Nashville Skyline. I couldn't quite go much further than that at the time. I remember Lady Lay and all those great songs on there.
Because we had, Linda Ronstadt and Charlie Pride. My mom played those constantly.
Yeah, well, I hadn't quite embraced Willie Nelson yet at that point, so.
There are, as we were saying earlier, collectors, and there's value in these 8-tracks. So I actually go out to the garage and
check.
Check.
So my final thing in all this would be, if you have an 8-track, let us know about it, because I am really curious to see who has an 8-track and does it work? Because you hear about a lot of stuff about cassettes and you hear a lot of stuff, but 8-tracks.
Did I dust off my player?
Yeah. When did the 8-track die officially? In
82. They said because
that
of
long.
Yeah, it went from like late 60s until 82 was when they.
That's pretty good.
It.
Yeah.
So it had a good long life.
Yeah, just slightly before the CD was introduced in 1985, 87. Of course, cassettes. You know, we'll never get rid of those.
No.
That's like styrofoam on the beach.
They're never go away.
Yeah.
Happy 8-track tape day.
Happy 8-track tape day, yeah.